How can we move from a sense of fear or dread about moments or events that are coming up in our lives to a sense of expectancy and excited anticipation? How can we live expectant of hearing what God invites us to do, and how can we live ready? Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Coleman, Associate Pastor at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. As a community of faith, this is what we are passionate about: people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in His mission to renew everything in Jesus. This week, in the final message from our series about hearing the invitation of God, we explore what it means to live expectantly as followers of Jesus. Expectant that we will hear where God is inviting us to join in with His work in the world. And expectant we will receive the resources we need from Him in order to step into that invitation and to act.
Let's worship Him as we read. The passage we're reading from this morning is the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you join with me in prayer as I begin? Father God, I am expectant of what You are going to do here with us tonight. And I pray that You would build that sense of expectancy within us, Lord, that by Your Holy Spirit, You'd soften our hearts to hear You, to receive Your invitation. And Father, that we would be people who are willing to act, willing to step into that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, there are moments in our lives when we are filled with a sense of expectancy, of anticipation of a moment or an event that is about to come up in our lives. That almost electric feeling of what's about to happen next. And in November in 2017, I ran the Alpine Challenge, which is 60 kilometers up a mountain in Falls Creek in Victoria. Don't worry, I don't do that very regularly, lest you get any crazy ideas about my fitness levels. But as we were heading down, as Nicola and I were heading down to this run, we were driving up this mountain road up to the ski resort at Falls Creek. And I was filled with a sense of anticipation, expectation of what was going to happen the next day. And as I got my kit checked, they check that you've got everything for every possible emergency that you might come across whilst you're running. That anticipation was there again. And as I laid everything out on the bed in our apartment where we were staying, so I was ready for the morning. Again, I felt that excited anticipation. A degree of nervousness about whether or not I'd done enough training, but also a sense of excitement that this was the culmination, the moment I had been preparing for. And actually, it was preparation. It was the preparation of training. I arrived at that moment having done some significant kilometers training for it. And I had gone through the kit list and made sure I got all of the gear that I needed to for that moment. And so I was, excited. A little bit nervous, but excited in that moment. And preparation is really key when it comes to moving us into a space of excited anticipation, because actually preparation and what God might do within us can help us be ready for a moment such that we are able to experience it with excitement rather than a sense of nervous dread. On the 10th of January 2015, I experienced a moment of true excitement and anticipation as I waited at the end of the aisle for my wife to arrive. And I was filled with a real sense of excitement and joy. I was so ready for that moment. But this was extraordinary for me, and particularly extraordinary for me, not just because I was about to marry Nicolai, but also because I never believed that I would get through this day without tranquilizers. Because I just believed that I was going to be so paralyzed by my anxiety about relationships that I would never be able to get through that day without them. But I realized there, in that moment, 10 years after the date when I believed I was going to get married to somebody else, that God had actually prepared me for this day. That God had done this work of preparation within me through counseling and through prayer and through life experience. God had readied me for this moment to be expectant and excited, anticipating what was coming. And in that moment, all I felt was joy and excitement about what was coming. But often God's preparations in us are actually preparing us to bless other people. To serve him as we bless other people out of what God has resourced us with and prepared us for. Nicolai and I enjoy and often feel called to pray for people. We love to do that. That's something that God has developed in both of us individually and continue to develop in us as we've come together in our marriage. And one evening, we went with a friend to a Christian event where there was an opportunity for people to receive prayer for healing. And this particular friend was experiencing a time of significant anxiety. They were going through the mill a bit when it came to anxiety. And all throughout that event, I sensed God's invitation. I sensed this sense of expectation, but God's invitation particularly, that I could be the one who prayed for them. I sensed God say to me, you can pray for them. You can pray for them. And as this friend gave Nicolai and I a lift back home and was about to drop us at our apartment, we were sitting in the car outside kind of debriefing. I sensed that invitation again, and I was expectant that God was going to use me in this moment. I knew this was the moment to ask if we could pray for this friend, and they said yes, and we prayed for them in the car. And in that moment, all that God had done in me, all that God had spoken to me about my own anxiety and prepared me through dealing with my own anxiety, and all of the things that God had done in me in terms of readying me to pray for other people, the things that I talked about a few weeks ago on my message on prayer earlier in this series, all of those things came together, and I felt that real sense that God had resourced me for that moment, that he had prepared me to pray in that moment. And I am reliably informed by that friend that it was a significant time for them and that they felt very blessed in that moment. And as Jodine mentioned earlier in this series, sometimes it takes courage for us to step into God's invitation. It takes courage to say, yes, actually, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to do what you are asking me to do. But it is an extraordinary thrill sensing God's specific invitation to join in with what he is doing, his restoration of people, and knowing that he has prepared you and resourced you for that moment. And Paul was expectant of what God was going to do in and through this church in Ephesus that we have read about this evening. Now, before we dive into this, I just want to give a little tip for preachers or anyone out there who's thinking of doing that. Never agree to preach on a passage that starts therefore or for this reason, because it means that you will have a whole lot of explaining to do of a bunch of stuff that happens well before this passage in order for what you're about to speak on to make sense. So here goes, in brief summary, Paul is writing to a church in Ephesus, and he is specifically writing to them to say that in Christ, Jews and Gentiles are united. These are two groups that many people thought would never be able to work together, never be able to come together. And Paul is also writing to this church for them to recognize in chapter 2:22 that they are also a people in whom God dwells. A people who God is delighting in dwelling in. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, to recognize that this people that God is going to dwell in, are also invited to extend the wisdom of God to the whole world. But not just the whole world, all the angelic rulers and spiritual authorities in the spiritual realms. And that is pretty extraordinary stuff. It's pretty amazing. But it doesn't end there. You see, Paul is expectant. We get this sense of his expectancy as we begin to engage with this prayer, as we read through it. Paul is expectant that the church would become all that God intended the church to become. And by extension, for us to be all that God intended us to be, that we would be so close to God, that we would hear his invitation at every turn, and that we would be expectant of not only hearing that invitation and being willing to step into it, but that God would resource us as we go, as we join in with what he's doing. And there are two resources that Paul is specifically expectant about, that he draws our attention to in this passage, that enable us to live expectant, that we will be all that God needs us to be, and that we will be able to do all that God wants us to do. And those two resources are love and power. Love and power. And he demonstrates his expectancy of those resources through this prayer for them. So let's dive into that. In verse 17, it says, "You being rooted and established in love, grounded in the love of God." Is there anyone in your life that you struggle to love? Someone maybe that you even dislike. Perhaps someone that you hate. A colleague. All of my colleagues are now questioning whether it's them. It's not. A relation. An in-law. Perhaps even someone within our church. No, surely not. None of you have been here long enough to develop a grudge against anyone within our church. Of course not. And then you get to that moment that you realize, actually, I shouldn't be hating these people. That's not a terribly Christian response. That's not something that seems like something I should be doing. And so you decide, well, I'm going to stop hating them. I'm going to stop being envious of them. I am going to stop disliking that person. And you try with all of your might to stop, and you realize, actually, I can't. I can't stop doing that. You can't just choose to stop disliking or stop hating someone. Because the reality is that you can't choose that unless you choose to engage in the opposite. And that is why God invites us to love our enemies. Because the reality is that hate and love can't coexist together. There's not space within us. We can't hate someone that we love. But if you have tried to engage in this, if you have tried to love someone that you hate or dislike very strongly, you'll know it's pretty difficult to do that. I would say nigh on impossible just to decide to do that. And that's because we can't conjure love out of nowhere. We can ultimately only love people from a place of deep love inside us. And if there is any deficit of love in your life right now, God wants to fill that void. God wants to fill that for you to know his love deeply, and so that you might be able to love others from this deep well of resource that is not your own. Because that is what being established in love is all about. That's what it means to be rooted in the love of God, knowing the love of God so deeply that you are able to love other people out of the overflow of His love in your life. That is the only way that you are going to love those that you dislike. That is the only way you're going to find love for those that you hate. And Paul wants the church to recognize that this is the primary way that the church is invited to operate. Because if the church start to love each other in this way, and the world is watching, and let me tell you, the world is watching, then people are going to want to be a part of that. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that? A part of a place where people are so able to love that they're even able to love beyond conflict. Because being rooted and established in the love of God changes the way that we treat each other. And Paul is not only expectant that the church can learn to live in the love of God, he is expectant that God will provide the love soil for them to be firmly rooted and established in. We also need to note in verse 19 one thing, and that this is a love that surpasses knowledge. And that may be a little bit of a challenge for us at GBC, because many of us like to know stuff. Like, we like to know stuff. And that's not bad, but it can limit us. It can limit us. Because Paul writes here that we are to be expectant of experiencing this love that surpasses knowledge. We need to experience the love of God that forgives our worst parts, that delights in our saying yes to Him. And we not only need to know that God delights in us and that God wants to pour and rain down His love upon us, but we have to put ourselves in the place of being able to receive that. We have to put ourselves in the position where we can experience and know the love of God. But love is not the only resource that Paul is expectant for, and that I believe God promises to provide through the context of this passage. This is not the only resource that will enable us to live expectant of hearing God's invitation and knowing that we've got the power to step into it. In verse 16, Paul prays that God would strengthen you with power through His Spirit. Strengthen you with power through His Spirit. And in verse 20, Paul invites the church to recognize, to acknowledge that God's plans and purposes, His objectives, will be outworked according to His power at work within us. His power at work within us. Paul prays for God's power to be at work within the church. The power, yes, to unite Jews and Gentiles, but also the power, the word power translated here means the power to act, the power to say yes and step into God's invitation, the power for the church to do all that God intended for the church to do. If we have got a heavy load for us to lift, then we need the strength in order to lift that. And we have a heavy load. God is inviting us, the church, and us as a church here, to be a part of the restoration and renewal of all things in Jesus. To take up the opportunities for broken lives to receive healing and restoration in prayer at the end of our services. To see young families discover that God is not quite as judgmental as they thought He was, as they engage with our playtime ministries. For kids to recognize that God is not the killjoy on fun. In fact, He invites us to be more like kids, to come to Him like the children, and to experience the joy of engaging in life with Him like kids did at Winterfest. God is inviting us to walk alongside those who have questions and to ask those questions and take them seriously as we walk with people in our life groups. God is inviting us to welcome the stranger into this place. I could go on. God is at work. God is at work in this place. And it is a heavy load for us to carry. But it is God's load. And we need the strength of his Holy Spirit in order to lift it. We need the strength of God's Holy Spirit at work within us to carry it. And we need to go on being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, as it says in verse 19. When a dry and arid valley receives a mighty rainfall, then that dry, arid valley stops being that. It changes and it becomes a river. But if the source of the water for that river is cut off, then that dry, arid valley will return. It will no longer go on being a river. It needs to go on being filled in order to continue flowing and moving forward. When we accept Jesus as our King, when we say, yes, I want you to rule in my heart, we receive God's Holy Spirit. But just as God's work in us of perfecting us, getting us ready, getting us more like Christ continues in degrees until we meet our Heavenly Father face to face, then this work of being filled by the Spirit continues in degrees. We continually need to be filled, filled, and filled again. We need to go on being filled by the Holy Spirit until that day. And when we are filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God, we can live expectant that God will do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine through us, because we are living, resourced, empowered by Him, living out his plans and purposes. So what is our next faithful step as a community? How is God inviting us to act from all that we have looked at tonight and engaged with tonight? How might we live expectant that we'll hear God's invitation and expectant that we will be resourced in order to carry it out? Well, Mark Rader invited us at our AGM, our senior pastor invited us at our AGM to pray for a season of the tangible work of God within our community, within our church community and our wider community. To be praying for transformed lives, an expansion of that, to be praying, as Bob prayed for lives to be transformed, and that includes our own, but others too, that other lives would be changed by God. And we're also invited to pray for a people who are willing to participate, who are willing to get involved in God's plan and God's purpose, and that we as a people would engage in the necessary preparations that will ready us for the work of God, the work that God is going to do in and through us, the work that God is going to do in this place. And as I've prepared this message all this week, I have felt and sensed that it was a necessary preparation for us to engage in our application to this message together here today in this moment. That we, like Paul, pray and take time in this moment to be expectant of all that God might do in and through us, inviting God by his Holy Spirit to fill us to the full measure, that we might grasp the width, the length, the height, and the depth of his love, that we might know his power resourcing us, that we might hear his invitation, and that we might act upon it. So I'm going to invite the band to join me back on the platform right now. Thank you. And in a moment, I'm going to invite us all to stand and to receive a simple prayer, that God might fill us with his Spirit. That God might fill us with his Spirit. And that we would put ourselves in the place of being able to receive the love of God. Receive God's love in this moment. And also receive his power for us to hear what God is inviting us to do. Now, we're not going to do anything crazy. And we're not going to coerce anything to happen. And God is kind. He's not going to force himself upon you, but he is inviting us, I believe, to simply come before him, to be expectant that he will reveal and show us his love, Show us his power and resource us, fill us with his Spirit. So we come before him simply, expectantly, and we create space for that. So I invite you to stand with me now in this moment. And some of you might want to kneel, as Paul did. There's no expectation on that. Whatever is comfortable, whatever feels like the right posture for you. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to kind of talk a bit through about what I think God is doing in this space, in this moment. And we've got a bit of time to engage in this. So I wonder now, in this moment, if you might want to adopt an open position, a physically open position. Because sometimes physically that says, yeah, actually I'm interested. I'm open to what you want to do in me, God. And whatever that looks like for you, please adopt that yourself. Don't feel any pressure. And then I'm going to pray. And so here we go. So Father, we come to you and we simply pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and fill us, we pray. And in this moment, you may have a whole bunch of thoughts that come to mind. What is he talking about? What have I got to do this week? I just invite you now to bring those before God. Ask him the questions. But as you do that, to invite him to help you be present in this moment. And we pray now, by your Spirit, help us receive your love. Help us receive and experience this love that surpasses knowledge. And sometimes when we invite the Holy Spirit into us, we sometimes feel a warmth or a sense of God's joy or God's love. You might be sensing something like that. And if you are sensing any of those things, then the response I think that's appropriate is thank you. And you can say that out loud if you need, or under your breath, or in your mind. Thank you. And we're thanking God for his good gifts. Music playing, and that's not to manipulate a moment, but it's there to cover over some awkward silences. But also, worship helps us focus on God, helps turn our attention to God, helps to remove distractions. We remember as well that Paul was expectant that God would provide another resource for us to act, for us to do what God is inviting us to do, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's the Holy Spirit that comes into us and actually changes us to be more like Jesus. The power to live a life more like Jesus. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, and fill us with your power to act. And sometimes when we pray for the power of the Spirit to come upon us, we might actually experience almost a physical weight in that moment, and that's okay. If you're experiencing something that is new, but you feel like it's a good thing, and say thank you to God. And if you've got questions and you're worried, I'm not sure what's happening, I'm not sure if I even feel anything, then God knows that, and he wants you to bring that question before him. Because God is beautiful in the way that he speaks to us. Because he knows us better than ourselves. And he will speak to us in a language that we can understand. So if just a thought has come to mind of a good thing that's helped you connect a bit more with God's love. Maybe you just saw a picture of a sunset, a scene that you have seen, and you've just sensed God's joy and pleasure in that. Then that is probably him speaking to you. And if you sensed him inviting you to pray for courage, then that is probably him speaking to you. And we pray and we invite God to fill us with his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, not just so that we would build muscles and be able to pose in the mirror, but that we might step into God's invitation, that we might act on and using that power, that resource, for God's purposes. And so I invite you now in this space, perhaps, to dare to pray, God, where are you inviting me to act? And to take note of the things that might come to mind. And God may give you a glimpse of a picture. He might give you a word. He might give you a passage of scripture. He might give you the name of a friend, and that might be a friend that you need to talk to because God wants to use you in that friend's life. Or it may be that that friend has got something to share with you, that actually as they were praying, they sensed what God might be saying on your behalf and wants to share that with you, and they might share that with you after the service. Be listening out for others too. We pray that God would give us a glimpse of our next faithful step. And so as we begin to draw this moment to a close, we say thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you that you fill us with your love, that you resource us with that, that you want to establish us in your love such that we might love others from an overflow, a deep well of resource within us, and that you fill us with your power that we might act, that we might serve you wherever you invite us to act. And we thank you that you love us enough to speak to us in this way, to invite us into the best life. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stay standing in this moment. Paul was expectant that the church in Ephesus would be used by God, be invited by God into all that God wanted the church to be, that he was expectant that the church would do and carry out God's plans and purposes in the world. And we can be expectant of hearing God's invitation when we take time to establish ourselves in God's love, because God wants to resource us in that way. He wants to pour out his love upon us. And he wants to pour out his Spirit upon us, that we might be filled with his power to act. In a moment, we are going to take an opportunity to sing again together, because that is a great way of responding to what God is doing in our lives. But and also we will have our prayer team available at the front They would love to pray with you about anything that is going on in your life. But before we get to that moment, the passage that we have looked at today, this is a prayer that Paul prayed for a church. And this has been my prayer for our church throughout the whole of this week. Would you hear the words of this prayer again as we become a people who not only hear the invitation of God, but are a people who are willing to act upon it?
Our Heavenly Father provides the resources we need in order to step into His plans and purposes. Creating space to receive God's love not only draws us closer to God and enables us to hear His invitation more readily, it resources us to love others from the overflow of His love in our hearts. And continually being filled by God's Holy Spirit gives us the power to act where and when God invites us to. Take time each day to experience the love of God and to pray for God's Holy Spirit to fill you with power as you join in with Him. We'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's renewing work in Jesus. God bless.